Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Kevin Owens has ended his friendship with Sami Zayn. He's done with him. He doesn't want to travel with him, don't want to speak with him, don't even want to see him, be in the same room with him.
No, he doesn't.
And Sami said, that's fine, but there's also a part of me that feels like if you just pause and play every now and again, you can pinpoint the exact moment that his heart rips in half.
I don't know that you can trust that.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit more. I am Luke Cohen, D-A-D. I'm joined by the Professor Dan Layton. Welcome to the WrestleTalk Podcast Raw Review. Click the little thumbs up button. Why don't you press the thumbs up, press subscribe. Subscribe to this channel, why not? We're nearing, actually, our 70,000 marker.
Huge.
And we have got some very exciting plans coming up for the festive period.
Is the festive period when we hit 70,000?
Well, I don't think it will be.
Festive period is all year round.
My prediction, based on the current trends of things, will be sort of March, April next year by the time we actually get to the 70,000.
So that will be a festive period.
Well, but we have got plans for the festive period.
For this festive period.
Gotcha. We have got some special things that we're working on at the moment. We'll have more details on that very, very soon.
Lovely.
And also, while you're in the mood for clicking links, why not check out this episode's sponsor, Incogni?
Huge.
Because you need to protect your data. Because, Dan, so... here's a fun little story for you.
Okay.
And when I say fun little story, it's a terrifying story.
Oh, no.
Terrifying is a strong word.
Okay.
But basically, there are companies out there that are buying up data that involves you. That'll be things like your name, your date of birth, where you live, your contact number, your gender, your loads of different things about you.
Something like that.
And what they then do is they sell that on to other companies. And then those companies sell it on to other companies. This and the other. It becomes this cycle of people just owning things about you. But you have the legal right to have those removed from those databases, your data removed from those databases. But to do that is a lot of work.
Effort.
And that's where Incogni comes in. Incogni is a company that will go through to all of those companies and just remove them for you. You get a little weekly update to be like, we have found this, we found this, we found this. You have been removed from these databases. We're currently working on these ones. It's a fabulous little service. And we've got a special offer for you. If you click the link in the video description down below, the first 100 people to use our link, we'll get a discount at checkout. Details of which are in the link in the video description down below.
I love a discount at checkout.
Oh, me too. And as some people are saying in the chat, make sure you do give this video a little thumbs up.
Yeah, little thumbs up.
Help us with that little algorithm.
Go on.
Don't even know if that YouTube checks the thumbs up anymore, but...
but it's fun to do.
Isn't
it fun to click a button sometimes?
Love it.
Yeah, and it lights up. Have a go.
Do you know what I love? This bloodline storyline.
Okay, well segued.
Thank
very
you
strong.
Very much. Yeah. That is because I am the Jam That Champion.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know how to segue. This, in particular in the show, like once the show opened with the bloodline backstage, Sami Zayn, the Usos, and Solo Sikoa, almost like kick my legs back, put my hands up behind my head, being like, well, at least I'm going to get a great bloodline segment on this show.
Because I, after watching Survivor Series, which I thought, by the way, was a good bookend, and an interesting middle. I was like, I hope we get a little recap, so at the very least we can make mention of the Bloodline storyline from SummerSlam, because two S's, because it was so good. And then the show, the first thing you see is the Bloodliner here in town in Norfolk, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Waltzing in. And I'm like, great, we're going to have a good time tonight.
Means we're going to get a promo segment.
A proper segment.
We may even get a match. Yeah. And we got both of those things.
We indeed did.
I was so excited because the Bloodline came out and it's Jay that's doing all of the talking.
Yeah, yeah,
it's Jay talking about there are no cracks in the Bloodline at this point.
Mm.
And he's turning to Sammy and he's like, look, I'm sure there's someone backstage that's very upset about all of this. Your dog KO. Because he's upset he's no longer your dog. You're our dog.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. Like Jimmy and Jay just putting it over Sammy was just so, so good.
And the whole handshake dealio where, you know, Jay reaches out with the hand to have a little... Oh, no, Sammy's reaching out to Jay with the hand to be like, we've had our differences, but let's shake on this now. And Jay's like, I'm not shaking your hand. Bring it in, man. Big old hug. Repeating, I was saying this just before we went on air. When in at the end of Survivor Series, when Sammy has... That tableau, by the way, of KO falling on Sammy and Sammy sort of holding his lifeless body, looking around. That was quite something. Plonk him on the ground. Jay, do your thing. And then when they hugged, that for me was as big a pop as Linda McMahon standing up from a chair. That for me, I was so from a wrestling fan perspective, I was jumping around the room. From a performer, an actor, a writer perspective, the drama of that was just sensational. And I had a tear in my eye because wrestling is such an incredible storytelling medium. And this is the prime example of why. So to have a little cuddle again was really good. And I was so desperate for Solo to join in the hug. To the point where, like, they're going, come on. And Solo is thinking about it. And he's a hard guy. When KO's music hit, I fully heel turned on KO.
That's why I've been here. So... It's you got Jay, you got Jimmy, and you got Sammy doing this big group hug, and they're literally off-ramming up to Solo to come and join them. Like you were saying, like, come on, bro, come join it. Solo's there, arms folded, stoic as he always is. And there's this like little sly smile on his face, almost imperceptible smile on his face.
And he doesn't smile.
And he doesn't, and he was almost just about to go for it when, minute. And Kevin Owens' music came out. And I've written here, KO, the big heel, comes out and ruins this.
Which is interesting because we talk about this a lot when in terms of like, you know, people cheering the heels and booing the good guys and how hard it is to do that. It's abundantly clear, ultimately, that the Bloodline are the bad guys. Don't get me wrong. But there's something about Sammy that has pulled us in and we love to see... It's a really weird dynamic of like being happy to see him... join
with
this.
The baddies.
Yeah.
So we were talking about this on the Survivor Series review, Ollie and I said the Survivor Series was the babyface turn for the Bloodline because the crowd was so Sammy joining the group.
And was Sammy Uso?
Exactly. And they were so happy then for Sammy to join that group. And they're, by extension, the group to embrace Sammy. Mm. So it felt like they are still the baddies.
Yeah.
They're still very much the baddie group.
Mm.
But the brilliance of this is when the turn comes... they're going to get such incredible heat off the back of this because we as a crowd are cheering the Bloodline at the moment.
It's because we are, first of all, we're thrilled to have some really good storytelling. I think the fans are like, yes, this is what we want to see. Because I think all the way back to, I want to say Rumble 2009, there was an example where, or maybe it was 2010 or something, Jeff Hardy was wrestling Edge, or Hardys were involved in a storyline with Edge, and then one of the Hardys was found backstage, and it was like, who did it? Well, it was Christian. We all wanted it to be Christian. And then, because we all wanted it to be Christian, Vince got on his sort of like, you can't have nice things hype, and changed his plans. And it's so unsatisfying. We're cheering so hard because this is the storyline development we want to see. We wanted to see this continue, and we were so excited by it. So then when you get that continuing on Raw, this was a really satisfying development. I saw there have been reports of what WWE have planned for the Bloodline over the next few pay-per-view events, few premium live events. And there's a world where they change their minds on those because I mean, they change their minds on the Sami Zayn storyline anyway to keep it going. But there's a world where we run away with ourselves and they can't live up. So I hope we can sort of temper our expectations a little bit. I hope that we can continue with this sort of goodwill of this storyline because it is currently, I can't fault it. There's no amount of this storyline where I'm like, you've not done this right. And today's episode of Raw was an excellent furtherance of that, I thought.
I completely agree. And that's actually one of the reasons why I think there's a lot of positivity around this week's episode of Raw. Like, I put up my edited review where I said, like, really, this was a totally fine show, but very good wrestling brought this up a level for me. And I think it's actually the same thing from Survivor Series. Because this Bloodline storyline is so great, and it is not just far and away the best thing in WWE, it's the best thing in wrestling right now. Regardless of any company, there is nothing in professional wrestling right now that is better than the Bloodline, in my humble opinion. And I think the opinion of quite a few people that are watching these shows. So that when you have really good Bloodline segments, you end up, and because you end with a Bloodline segment as well, your instant reaction to watching this is like, well, that was a 5 out of 5 show. And for me, this was not a 5 out of 5 show, but all of the Bloodline stuff is it's always 5 out of 5.
Well, that's the thing, is that there are moments in shows like this, especially over the course of 3 hours, where you do have the segments that are so good, it makes up for segments that are slightly less good.
Yeah.
But like, this is the kind of storyline that will one day be in a list of, like, a YouTube list of, like, best storylines, and they'll give you the recap, and it's just so dramatic. It's the kind of thing you can bring a casual viewer into.
Absolutely. And particularly if, because the plan are, spoilers if you don't want to know what the plans are.
Plans. Card subject to change.
Card subject to change, and this is just a report at the moment.
Yeah.
The Rumble, and this seems to be the direction anyway. The Rumble, it's Reigns versus Owens for the Blue Universal titles. Then at the Elimination Chamber, it's Sami Zayn. It's Roman versus Sami for the titles. And then at Mania, it's Kevin Owens and Sami versus the Usos for the tag titles. Like, that is a perfect, wonderful little 3 pay-per-view run there that continues what is already a great storyline, and then we'll have much more dramatic peaks and troughs as we go along the way. And also, me and Adam were talking about this earlier, is your evil doppelganger.
I'm the evil twin, apparently. I've been assigned evil twin. I don't know how.
But the reason why that works so well is because the Kevin and Sammy versus the Usos continues the storyline and allows Roman to have his match with The Rock, and that not really affect the great...
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to put a little pause on this storyline like we have done with... Like, we had to do with Logan Paul.
Yes.
Had to put a little pause on our Bloodline stuff because we've got to do some Logan Paul things for a month. And then once Logan Paul's done, right, unpause, we can go back to the storyline. With The Rock, you don't have to do that because you're just moving it into the tag division instead. So there's a lot of like great stuff that you can do around there.
The other thing that it points to is a real commitment to sort of long-term storytelling, which we have, you know, it's at this point become such a cliche in talking about wrestling, the idea of long-term storytelling, knowing Vince would show up and the show would be being booked on the fly. This is a commitment to saying, okay, so we have this in place, we have this in place, we have this in place. We are working toward these. These are our chapters. When you write any story, you have the chapters in place and you have your structure and you write it. As a fan, if you're reading a book or if you're watching a movie, you see these things play out and you're in control of how long it takes, kind of thing, because you're consuming it. Episodic television is slightly different, and there's a little part of me that is concerned that, as we are, as wrestling fans want to do, gonna get carried away and gonna maybe affect it. So you can't have it both ways, of like desperate for long-term storytelling, and then when we get exactly what we have been told is going to happen, when we get that, you can't then complain about that. So I'm a little
I totally get that.
I don't think that that's necessarily what's going to happen, because the strength of the storyline so far has been so good.
Yeah.
And every single one of those matches makes me absolutely salivate. And I tell you what was really nice in this particular segment was, and it's what makes the Bloodline storyline so good, everyone's individual performances. I think Sami Zayn is an MVP. I think Sami Zayn is someone who this company could, not least because of real life things that he does. I'm thinking Sami Pasiria and the rest of these things. But he's someone who the company could be built around, because his performance quality in ring as a wrestler, but as an actor, is so strong. Because when KO comes out and he's not angry, he's just disappointed.
But I don't even think he was disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, for Kev, because what Kevin Owens said when he came out was like, I get it. Because
I did it to you a lot.
I've done it to you a bunch over the years. Like, there's been millions of times across our career, because we've always been connected in our career, where I have turned on you or stabbed you in the back, whatever you want to call it. So I get it.
Yeah.
And I understand it. I'm not here to fight. I just want to tell you, we're done.
Hate is an emotion very close to love.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can get from a person is indifference. And that's what KO was offering. And then when Sammy says, you know what? Yeah, I don't want it either. That, for me, was more heartbreaking than any fisticuffs.
Yeah, and it really is.
Because his delivery of it, you could hear his voice breaking a little bit. That's where I'm saying, does he really mean it?
I don't think he does. I think he's just saying it. Like, because if you go, and I didn't realize it when I was watching it first time around. I was only actually watching it. Someone posted a clip of it with the Bart Simpson Luckless, you can pinpoint the exact moment that his heart rips in half and they sort of like, you know, freeze frame the moment. Sami Zayn, when he hears Kevin Owens' line, does have that moment of, you've broken my heart. But he is, again, putting on this bravado of like, no, I don't need you because I've got this family now. It's exactly what happened at Survivor Series. That conflicted look on his face after what he did to Kevin. The second that Jey Uso hugged him, he was like, no, I made completely the right choice. I'm with my family now. I think Sami is doing the, and this is incredible considering what he did in NXT, the best work of his WWE career.
I agree.
We've currently got our nominations open for the end of year awards, the WrestleTalk Podcast Awards. It's gone out to the team, our website writers, our moderating team.
I'm doing mine tonight, I promise.
It's fine. The deadline's not until this Sunday, so you've got time. And some of our Patreon backers, our top tier Patreon backers, as well as influencers amongst the wrestling world, the wrestling media world. And I can tell you that Sami Zayn is doing very well in the poll.
Well, yeah, because it's on the strength of this stuff.
That's it.
And it's the anyone who has ever been through a friendship breakup, a romantic breakup to a degree, but a friendship breakup, when you grow apart and you realize that we were best friends from when we were kids and now we've grown up and we're not as close anymore, or, you know, something fundamentally changes in your relationship. Your friend gets into a new relationship and you don't see eye to eye and you need to take that and move away from that. I think we've all been through something like that in our lives. And so it's seeing it play out like that and seeing the level of emotion that both of them were putting into this moment was incredibly moving. That is just, from an acting perspective, it didn't feel like acting.
No, exactly.
In a wrestling show. And do you know?
Absolutely. And then it's leveled up even further because Sami, you're right, fires back by being like, look, I don't need you because I've got my family now. I'm with my family. I'm with the bloodline. And Kevin Owens reminds him again, this is not your blood. You are not actually part of this family. And this family can very easily cast you to one side.
Yeah.
And Sami doesn't have the words to respond to that. But Jey Uso does. Well, the man that has been at loggerheads with Sami is the one to step up to the plate. And he literally goes, sorry, I've got this.
Yeah.
And it's Jey that is then defending Sami. So you're leveling this story up. You're moving this on. You're furthering these characters along. And it sets up a match between Jey Uso and Kevin Owens. Jey Uso is facing Kevin Owens for Sami Zayn's honor.
Yeah.
Amazing. What a great main event you have lined up for the show then.
Perfect. And exactly, you're right. The idea that of all of these people, Jey has been the one saying, no, let's kick him out, and doing everything he can to turn the bloodline against Sami. To be the one to defend his honor was just such a magnificent touch. And Jey, I think, performed it really well as well. Everyone is spitting straight fire in these segments. And it's just wonderful.
Owens and Jey had a very, very good main event match
as well.
Really, really good. All built around this idea that Owens would not quit. Owens would not stay down. Jey hit him with various different super kicks. And Kevin Owens kept kicking out of every single one of them. Kevin Owens, by the way, was... like I had a lot of MVPs on this show, Bobby being one of them.
Yeah.
But I think Kevin Owens is my MVP here because him and Bayley were the only people that sold they were in a War Games. Everyone else was absolutely fine.
His back hurting so much.
But Kevin Owens was actually selling the injuries and the effects of being inside War Games. And they used that to enhance the story that they were in.
How many times have we commented on this show about the lack of commitment to a bit?
Yeah.
The lack of commitment to, you're telling me that this is injured, but you're not going to sell it and you're still going to do it. And KO just couldn't do certain moves. It was a pop-up powerbomb, I think, you went for at one point.
Couldn't follow through.
Because, yeah, that hurts. Everyone's done their back in a little bit and then tried to do something and gone, oh no, I can't lift that today. And that thing that we're trying to lift is not often Jey Uso. So, but also having to go up against Jimmy's interference and Solo's interference, not Sammy's interference.
Isn't that good?
But he went up against everyone's interference, still managed to get the win, ran out right as the show was going off the air.
Oh, yeah. Something had gone long elsewhere on this show. But because
And it, for me, it bookended the beginning and end of the show with just this intensity and this urgency that you don't often get with a baggy 3-hour show where you've got a lot of time to fill. A 3-hour show, no less. They had a commercial-free first hour. Interesting, because I really liked the first hour, and then the second commercial started coming back in, I was like, this now feels long.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Because, like, I mean, we'll get into it in a little bit, but like the ad-free first hour really exposed the commentary team.
Oh my god.
WWE's production and match layout.
Yes.
But we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah. But it was a great main event.
Very, very good main event. Kevin Owens survived the interference from Jimmy and Solo, and as you pointed out, Not Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn never got physically involved in this match. And he hit the stunner on Jay and got the win. Show immediately went off the air. Very, very good ending to the show. Like, again, like all this Bloodline stuff, you cannot fault it. I adored it. I loved it. It is, I said it in my edited review. I think I've taken a bit of flack for this. I haven't actually checked the comments for the video yet, but going by the live chat, I've taken some flack for this. I said it's the best thing in WWE. And you could make an argument it's the only good thing in WWE at the moment. Because I think Raw is struggling with must-see storylines. I think it has got some good storylines.
Storylines that you will enjoy seeing when they pop up, but what do you tune in to watch?
What are you tuning in to watch? But I want to tune in and see the next episode of The Bloodline.
I see what you're saying.
But like Seth and Austin Theory are having a feud, and yeah, that's okay, and that's all right. I thought the Becky Bailey stuff was really good, but Bailey's also got a lot of the baggage from never winning and damage control looking a little bit sucky at the moment. So like, it's not must tune in television, but the Bloodline for me is must watch TV.
Even if there's a because there's a lot of wrestling in the week, and at the moment there's a lot of football in the week as well. So my time is quite, and there's a lot of really good movies coming out. So my time is quite occupied. Sometimes I will kind of not necessarily watch the full SmackDown, even though SmackDown is generally quite a good show. I'll always make a point of seeking out the Bloodline stuff. It's exactly that. It's like I want to see that, and I want to see that in full. I don't want to see a highlight, or I don't want to read what happened. I want to see the performances of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually, you know, I've seen some people there being like, there's also Bray Wyatt on SmackDown. And the Bray Wyatt stuff is good.
I think the Judgment Day stuff is good as well. I think what the Bray storyline that they're doing is really entertaining. I think I'm really intrigued by it. I'm intrigued by the Judgment Day. But I think the crucial thing that you're saying, and you're dead right, is what makes you sit down and watch. What, rather than like, oh, that's going to be a fun segment when you're already watching
that's
the show.
It. Like, the Bray Wyatt stuff for me is it's the intrigue of like I'm tuning in to see like, okay, well, where are we going next? And like, where are we? Whereas like with the Blood stuff, I'm excited to see because I know where it's going and I'm excited to see where like our next story beats are and hopefully they're going to surprise me. With the Bray stuff, I'm like, okay, I see where we're sort of going with this. Like, okay, I'm you know, you've got my interest, but like you hasn't hooked me in yet. I think the Bray stuff hasn't hooked me in since the return, that epic return. And I'm like, now there's just stuff like some great promos, but I'm waiting for that like big hook to like really sink its teeth into me.
The return is a really good example because it's that thing of well, I have to see what happens next, so I have to tune into this Raw. You know, I have to know. Like, I must make it, to quote the greatest of all time, it is the most must-see thing. I think that's what the Bloodline is doing. And I think that it shows that with the right creative team and with the right performers, WWE can kind of do anything. They just haven't been. And that, for me, is where it gets a bit, I'll slap you on the wrists. You know? When you can do it, but you don't do it, I get cross.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, let's get into your Ultra Chats. Thank you all so much for watching. You can get your thoughts in onto this show at wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them. It will be $5. So get your thoughts, statements, comments read out on the air. Like these fine folks, Manny Umaria has said, Chris Claremont, the X-Men writer, said to me once, you can find family anywhere, and we all want that. Doesn't mean you'll find the right family. Seems apt for Sami Zayn here. KO was bad family for Zayn and drove him towards the bloodline, sort of.
It's a thing that this is what I mean by everyone's got this kind of experience with something along these lines. When you commit so much love to a person, in whether that be a romantic or a friendly or a familial sense, to feel betrayed by them or to feel like they're not good for you anymore is such a heart-wrenching thing. And that's why when not only the actual turn, but then when Jay hugged Sammy and Sammy's running around and rips his shirt off, it's that outpouring of all of this pent up frustration and anger and pain at what he believes is the right thing to do. These are the minor. I always call it little acting. There's some in movies every now and again you'll see something where it's like you can deliver a line very well, but there's something extra. Meryl Streep does it all the time, where you just go, "That's what makes you the best." Sammy is full of those. This is a very quick sidebar. When Sammy was there with his shirt off, I was a little bit like, are you committed enough to this character to go and get yourself a little tribal tattoo?
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Because I think about Jericho and CM Punk talked about having tattoos done as a part of the storyline when they were doing it way back when.
And Vince canned it because there'd be blood from the tattoo. And idea was that Jericho was going to tattoo. I believe he was going to tattoo his name onto...
On air.
Yeah.
Like a branding thing.
Yeah, in a match.
You don't need to do it on air, but could you imagine like that? And then you've just got this permanent reminder when you are betrayed. I don't know. I probably don't do it, but I thought about it.
Charles Burke said, you know, you messed up when the guy who always betrays you says you went too far. Austin Theory also had my favorite line, so I can do my internal narrator response. Austin Theory, who looks stupid now? He said, looking stupid. Really solid show. 4 out of 5. Well, let's get into the main show itself. But before we do, we've got a sponsor we'd like to thank. Please do click the link in the video description down below. Incogni. Click that link. The first 100 people to use the promo code WTPodcast will get a discount when they get to the checkout. Details of which are in the video description. Thank you so much to Incogni. They have been a wonderful sponsor here on the WrestleTalk Podcast. We're in parts of unknown for our My GM series, the Monday Night War. We really love Incogni. We really do believe in the service as well. So go and use it. We use it here in the office. I feel so much better. I gave a little bit nervous and antsy about like people owning data and information about me in the same way that I hate it when, you know, you get cold calls and things like that. It's like my first instinct is like, well, how did you get this number?
I think we're all a lot more aware of it now as well, aren't
absolutely
we?
Yeah. So I'm really glad that I have something like Incogni in my life where I have someone who's got my back to go through to these companies and get my data removed from everything, and that makes me feel so much better when I'm on the internet. Yes, so please go and use it. First 100 people to use the promo code WTPodcast in the link down below. Also, as a little bit of housekeeping, so those of you who watched the SmackDown review on Saturday will have heard the news that Pete is no longer working on Saturdays. Pete will no longer be doing the SmackDown review. Pete will no longer be doing the edited review over on the WrestleTalk news channel. And instead, he will be coming here to Monday Night Raw, which means today is the final show with the Professor Dan Layton.
I've been Jimmy Smith.
You, unfortunately, you have. You've been Adnan Virk.
I have been. I had a longer run than Adam Virk.
That is true.
Yeah, at the very least.
Because we've had, it's been a rocky road with my rotating cast of Raw hosts this year.
But I had a good little run there, didn't I?
You did. Exactly. I had Ollie.
We did three pay-per-views.
Yeah, I had Ollie for a little bit at the start of the year. Yeah. And then he unfortunately had to step away from doing that. Yeah. Sullivan stepped in. Then you have been my rock. Stepped in and has been solid. So thank you very much. Please, everyone, give Dan a lot of love in the chat. Give this man his flowers because he has done so much great work for here on the WrestleTalk podcast. We loved having you.
I love being here, genuinely. I think I tell you all this in person, so I'm not just blowing smoke on camera, but the WrestleTalk team are like just the most fun people in the world. It's my highlight of my week is coming to hang out and to chat with you guys. And like I said a few weeks ago, getting to talk about wrestling, getting to engage with wrestling on this level again has been so nice as a fan, let alone as a presenter or anything like that. So thanks very much. Had a great time.
Yeah.
See you around. I'm off. Bye, everybody.
No, we need to finish this show. Of course, you can always watch me and Dan over on the Cineworld channel.
Oh, yeah, we do that.
So we'll be doing stuff together. And don't worry, this is not the last you'll ever see of the Professor Dan Layton.
They're going to put me in a box in the attic, and at some point they'll wheel me out.
Exactly. And I can't wait till that day. This show opened with Becky Lynch coming out to attempt some open mic comedy. Hey, you, what's your name? Where you from? Yeah. What do you do for a living?
I'm sorry. No, I heard. I'm just sorry.
It might just be because I'd watched the Louis Theroux interview with Catherine Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
And she was doing a lot of that sort of stuff with audience members. Yeah. I was like, is this what Becky's is trying her open mic
night? She's got her iPlayer on.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know, she's going to go to The Fringe next year, but she hasn't got a show. So yeah. It's an in-progress show. So
I mean, she's got time.
She's just going to go there and prep some things. This was a good, like, testing thing for her.
I loved this.
Oh, me too as well, because she goes and talks to this lad, Bobby.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's your name? He goes, Bobby. And she's like, Bobby, everyone. And the crowd is like, Bobby.
Yeah.
And she looks to this other guy, because she couldn't avoid him either. He was standing pretty much on her.
He was quite intense, wasn't he?
Zachary. And instantly she was like, oh, cool, I'll interact with this guy. Notice, probably inebriated, they was like, I'm just going to go back to Bobby. And like, what a pro to be like, okay, that's enough of you.
Yeah.
Let's put all the focus on Bobby now.
Let's not... we're being a little bit silly, but improv number one is very difficult to do.
Oh yeah.
Live mic number two is very difficult to do. Interacting with real world people, I don't do it. It's not fun for me. So it's really impressive that she carried this segment and made it. I was instantly perked up. It was very exciting. It felt fresh. It felt different. For me, it was a polar opposite of last week, where I didn't really like the whole KO bringing down the Brutes and McIntyre thing. I was a little bit like, eh. Just the visual of her opening the show with a promo from the crowd, surrounded by the WWE fans, surrounded by Bobby, having the time of his life. That is a video you will cherish forever.
Yeah.
You know? And it's the things like that that make you as a fan want to... They showed that they were coming to Washington next week. Makes you want to buy a ticket, because what if something like that happens to you?
It's
that thing of creating the energy of anything can happen, creating the energy of let's have some fun together. And it makes the crowd want to be involved, you know?
I am sure that WWE would have rather that Bobby didn't spend the first sort of 45 seconds of Becky Lynch cutting a promo with him on his phone.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to get the camera wrap-ups. He's trying to unlock it. Yeah. Like, I put my password in wrong.
Whack open his B-reel and hope for the best.
Exactly. Yeah, but he's getting this video. And finally gets his video. But the first 30 seconds of Becky Lynch being like, hey, I'm with Bobby, I'm with the crowd, he's just staring at his phone.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that's not the visual you're going for.
But
there.
We would all do it.
But it's completely, like, overall, the whole thing worked. And I have still been yet to give a good reason as to why this didn't happen on Raw last week. Why Becky Lynch did not make her return on Raw last week. But you know what? It's fine. She's here. She's a babyface. And I was really, really glad to see her here. We haven't seen Becky as a babyface.
We haven't seen the man for a long time.
Yeah.
I love Big Time Becky, by the way.
Yeah. And I thought this was just... It was a great reintroduction of this version of Becky Lynch.
Yeah. And it's the thing that the women's division has been missing. And actually something that I thought about at the end of the show was the women's division is actually quite strong. Maybe we don't know specifically the challengers, but when you look at the list of names on the roster, you're like, damn, all right, you've got some good stuff going on here. And it all kicked off with Becky basically being like, there have been some new faces, some returning faces, and I can't wait to slap them all. And it's just this idea of like, yeah, Becky. And I actually disagree. I'm kind of okay with not seeing her on Raw, not having this kind of promo, because it meant that it felt to me like War Games had finished. This storyline had finished. and now we were looking forward. That's what I got from this.
I think you could have just done the return bit that she did on SmackDown on Raw.
Yeah.
It was a Raw storyline, after all, featuring all Raw talents.
Literally not a single SmackDown talent. Yeah.
But again, I think, like, we said this in the Survivor Series review as well, but like that 10-woman match, the War Games match, that's 10 whole women you've got there on your roster. And you're like, oh my God, like that's like, all of them feel like if you book them in a really strong way, you can make them all feel like legit title contenders. Mm. And that doesn't include then like Dana Brooke and Doudrop.
Yeah.
And Candice LeRae. And you've got all of these women on the Raw roster. Like SmackDown is starving and desperate for this level of like depth in their women's division.
I think it's specifically being booked in that way. I think that, I mean, the Raw Women's Division hasn't been booked very well, but there's something about the people on it that are impressive. I agree that the SmackDown roster has a number of potential, a large amount of potential on the SmackDown roster, but it doesn't quite have the same amount of you know. I put many of the women in Raw together, and I go, I'm really looking forward to this match. I don't feel that quite as much with SmackDown.
No, not at all.
Triple H. You know, I give him a very long leash most of the time, has a track record of booking women incredibly well in NXT. I really hope that he can continue to do a better job than he has been doing on Raw. And yeah, they're all really good. I'm undermining my own point.
Well, yeah, but on that note, so Bayley comes out, and like Rodney Dangerfield, she gets no respect around here. And she points out that, hey, like, you know, Becky's talking about how her ass hurts because she did a leg drop off the War Games cage. I've been in ladder matches. I've been in last women standing matches, and I'm not getting any respect. I'm not getting any of this plaudits. And Becky points out, yes, because you lose all of them. And you're like, I want to be excited for a Becky Bayley feud. But unfortunately, I think the Bianca Belair feud has hurt Bayley massively so since her return. And then you got Damage Control backing up Bayley, who were also losers. And then the four of these women get into a big brawl, and Becky's 3-on-1, and Becky more or less stands tall at the end of this. And I'm like, why did Damage Control suck so bad? Like,
two of them weren't medically cleared, Luke.
Why can't they just present Damage Control like a legit threat, a force, an actual threat to this women's division? Because they don't feel like it anymore. Two of them are the tag champions, and I keep forgetting that fact because they don't feel like they're the tag champs of this brand.
Bayley coming out on her own and Dakota coming out with her own music, for me, felt a little bit like, oh, are we going to move away from that? If you wanted to, you could have just left Damage Control as a unit. You could have just left it after War Games and have Bayley just not necessarily break them up. We don't need to see a breakup, but the idea that they aren't constantly riding together or whatever, you could have sort of left that behind a little bit. And actually, there is something in the idea of like, hang on, you went away for ages and now come back on all these people, and you were fundamentally a bad guy when you last had a match. And I know we had that little burgeoning turn when that's why Damage Control took her out, but you know, you left, and I've been here for 4 months and I've done all of these things, and like, I'm getting nothing. I'm really putting my body on the line here, and these people don't respect it. I liked that. I actually didn't mind the fact that she went out, yeah, because you lost. For me, that is, it's logic. It's true. It's real. I actually think working with Becky is a really good opportunity for Bayley to come back from what has been an utter failure of feud with Bianca. And I think as fans, it's really nice for us to have Becky, because I don't think Bianca is strong enough as a face. I think that's the problem. I think she's really great. I love her. I think she's brilliant in the ring. I love watching her wrestle. But I think there's something swaggy heel about her, like about Bianca, that doesn't read as relatable, maybe?
I think the problem with Bianca as well is that they've booked her too strong. Like, I think there is a difference between keeping a wrestler strong and booking them to be too strong.
Mm.
So now, you know, we just talked about how there are like, you know, there are 9 other women in that War Games match, but none of them outside of Becky feel like they're on Bianca's level, because they've been relegated.
Bianca doesn't think that either. I think that's when she's in the promo, she doesn't feel like anyone's on her level.
Exactly.
Which, like, you got to back yourself, got to rate yourself. But there's something about respecting your opponent that just gives you that element of humanity rather than seeing you as a full-on superhero.
Yeah. I'm excited to have Becky back. Her going up against Bayley just completely makes sense. I'm hoping that this does more for Bayley than the Bianca feud did. And I hope that we can reestablish Bayley again to be like a main event type person. And it's funny, because I kept talking about, you know, like how Becky was able to stand up 3-on-1 against them, and people were like, well, you know, Bayley and Io were hurt from War Games, or bet they're injured. Like, apparently Io's like legit like hurt from War Games and stuff, and like Bayley was pretty banged up. And my argument to that is like, well, it's a scripted show. You don't have to book them in a brawl.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, you can do whatever you want on this show. You didn't have to book them for Becky to beat them 3-on-1.
No.
You could have just done something else. Mm. But by booking it this way, you have just said, oh, Becky can beat all three of them on her own in the same way that Bianca beat all three of them on her own.
Yeah.
Wasn't SummerSlam, it was Extreme Rules, the ladder match?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was Bianca winning all three. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So
the
like...
KOD.
Yeah,
I was going to say TKO, not that one.
So yeah, so there was... Overall, I thought this was a great segment because the brawl was fun, although it didn't have Petey Williams, so 0 out of 5.
I'm so sorry.
And, you know, I was glad to see the fake merch return. Though I don't think I love watching wrestlers sell for plastic lunchboxes.
Yeah, the lunchbox.
Exactly, yes.
Had a vibe.
If you get hit with a lunchbox, it is like a... Well, that's annoying. You don't, like, do a big... I remember watching an episode of TNA once, and someone got hit with a foam finger, and they sold it, and I'm like...
Great. Oh, I mean,
like,
they sold a few of the paper signs.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just like, well, you're being hit... I know you're being hit with something, but it's also a foam finger, or it's a plastic lunchbox.
I have a Money in the Bank briefcase at home.
The lunchbox one?
No, like a proper full-size one.
Yeah.
It's not unsubstantial. Could you not find one and just put it behind there? Because that's not going to hurt you. But one might do something.
Yeah, I know, but you don't want to confuse the audience. Think it's like, oh my God, can loads of people cash in now? Loads of people have got these things now. Speaking of War Games Fallout, Rhea Ripley then took on Mia Yim. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a very good match that did not have the crowd reaction I thought it would get. I thought they picked up a bit towards the end, and... It was a totally fine match, but it ended in no contest /DQ because AJ Styles brawled with Dominic, and then AJ challenged the Judgment Day to a match. And I'm like, this is lazy WWE. We've got time to fill. We'll book a match that means nothing to then build to a tag match. And it's just a way to artificially, like, rather than just do the OC versus the Judgment Day and just have a match, you sort of waste our time with this bit here just to be like I can't even call it a canapé before
a moosh.
Yeah, I don't even think this is a moose boosh, because a moose boosh at least serves a purpose. This is actually just filling time.
Mm. That's the show we're going to do, the MasterChef review.
I'm desperately trying to get us into a room with BBC Sounds so we can pitch the official MasterChef podcast.
I'm in. I actually don't...
No, actually, I'm trying that.
Are you really? Yeah. Dreamy, perfect. I don't fully agree with you on this one, because... but I'd like to start by making a little correction, because I was being very flippant about Mia Yim being referred to as Meechin last week, because it felt like one of those things that WWE just assigned her, and it was like, we'll give you this name, and it felt like they were trying to make Fetch happen. Subsequently, Mia Yim did speak a lot about how actually Meechin is a very personal thing to her. It's what her mother called her. And a lot of the Korean fans were like, oh my God, actually really lovely to see that. So hands up. That was her choice. I think her being Meechin Mia Yim rather than just being referred to as Meechin makes way more sense. So respect for that. And I thought what was really nice about this and why this was necessary is because what have we seen from Mia? She arrives, batters her a little bit, has a wonky match with Tamina, and then gets a few spots in War Games. We haven't really seen Mia stand on her own 2 feet. So I think having a little section where Mia gets to have some really good stuff in there, because I think Mia Yim is great, and if you've seen her around, you'll know this, to her get some great stuff in on Rhea and be seen as like a real sort of threat to her was, I think, quite necessary and quite useful. So when we then get the four-way, if only we'd had a pay-per-view who was designed around four-person matches 2 days ago, but fine, whatever. I thought the momentum of it was quite strong leading into that moment. So then when we do get into the match itself, I was sort of primed and ready. That's how I felt.
I totally get that. And I respect that opinion. For me, it is just, I can't help but feel like there was no point to this singles match other than just to set up our 8-person tag.
Right. Which is true.
But the 8-person tag was like, it was a lot of fun. Like it was a really good match. But I think this also sums up our commercial-free aspect of the first hour. I feel like what we had with that match leading into this match and the sort of like the stalling for time before we got into this, because that's the stuff you then don't see on TV because that's all in the commercial break.
Yeah.
And it also means we had to watch the plodding match layout that WWE has, which is heels working over a baby face for a long time, putting them in rest holds and stuff. The stuff that we wouldn't normally see because they're hidden in commercial breaks, but stuff that we do have to see when it's a commercial-free show.
Yeah.
So there is like the OC Judgment Day match really picked up at the end, but there was a period of time where I was like, Oof, I am watching them just work over Carl Anderson for a long time.
I agree. Here. I think when they lent into it and the match started picking up, I bought everything they sold.
Absolutely. But that's some really good stuff you would have seen outside of the commercial break.
That's true. I think there was stuff like the... the roar when the women tagged in at the end was quite something to behold, especially because the crowd had been excited, but not as lit for the singles match.
Which I thought was really weird because then they were really into it. At first I thought they were piping in noise.
I thought that.
And they definitely were at points a lot through this show because there were lots of loud noises with a hard camera shot of people sat down with their mouths closed.
I also thought there was a really good line that Corey Graves said. So while I ripped them apart a few times, props to Corey Graves here for saying like all the women want to be with Dom. That's the kind of whole like heel stuff. Corey Graves has to pull double duty. He has to be play by play and color commentary because the people he's partnered with the exception of Cole, kind of don't know what they're doing.
Poor Kev.
He's got a really difficult job to do. And now and again he comes out with lines like that, and I'm like, yeah, fair play. And again, we saw Dom continue to do really good work. When he tagged in, got a proper uppercut from Luke Gallows, and then immediately tagged back out again because he's believing in himself, believing in his own hype, tagging. I'm going to take you. No, I'm not. Great work. Then, when Gallows beheading Dom a little bit later on, when Mia slammed Finn, I fully was like, great. Pop for that. And then I was like dying to see Dom get his from Mia. I really wanted to see Dom like get a little slap or a little something from Mia. So I really bought it. I really bought what they were selling.
Dominic Mysterio is so great in this role. He is absolutely he's loving it.
Mm. And it was nice to see Judgment Day get this win, because I think they can take a loss now and again, Judgment Day, but I need to be reminded that they are actually still a force.
I also think as well that it was imperative that Rhea Ripley won this.
Yeah.
Because AJ had won at Survivor Series. Yeah. So I think, you're right, Judgment Day need this win more. So I think Ripley. So I feel like we are heading towards Ripley versus Belair at WrestleMania.
Mm.
Like, I think that's our WrestleMania direction we're heading. So Ripley now, you want to be making look like this unstoppable force in the women's division.
Mm.
So her beating Mia Yim, granted, it makes Mia Yim look like a very ineffective Rhea Lucian. Because that was the whole reason she was brought in, was to stop Rhea Ripley.
And yeah.
She has not done that whatsoever.
Yeah.
So it kind of hurts you in that sense of it. But I think you want to be pushing Rhea. Like, that's the direction you want to go. Her versus Bianca, for me, is a complete money match at WrestleMania. And if you've got the Dominic stuff there as well, they're the real heat magnets of the Judgment Day.
Mm.
Finn and Priest.
That Thanksgiving thing, by the way.
Oh, it was so great.
Brilliant.
Right? Like, I think Finn and Priest are doing good stuff. But they're not getting heat.
Yeah.
Ripley and Dom are 100% getting all of the heat of this group.
And even having Vicky wear off bootleg Rhea merch on an AEW show sort of shows that this partnership has that sort of wider potential as well.
Yeah.
And I quite like that.
But it was so good. And I very much enjoyed the match once it kind of got going. Judgment Day won. And it felt like, because AJ mentioned this at the start of the match, this is the end of the OC Judgment Day feud.
Hmm.
So I'm very, very curious because perhaps I'm just in a Monday Night War mode. When you finish a feud on Monday Night War, or at least when I do, I'm then be like, okay, well, now what do I do with my people I've got left over? I hope Triple H has got plans for these people because I look at the OC and I'm like, okay, well, what are we going to do with the OC next?
Kevin Patrick said, I don't know if this is the end of this. And Corey Graves said, I think you might be right. And I was like, so which is it?
Yeah, because
you said it was done, but now you're saying it's not.
I also feel like we are starting to run our course a little bit on this. So I feel like we do need to move them on to other things. But then again, I don't know what you do move them on to because we've seen.
I don't think Mia and Rhea are done.
Well, also, but I think this is the problem with having the leaders have a singles match. Surely that should be the final point of this.
We also have 2 months until the Royal Rumble, and this is something that I have in my head with KO and the Bloodline as well. It's like, that's a long time.
It's a long time.
A big pay-per-view. Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's see.
The Street Profits returned earlier in the day and were interrupted by Alpha Academy to set up a match later on. We then got all the Bloodline stuff that we just talked about. Candice LeRae was walking backstage. He also returned on this show. And if you look just far into the background, Nikki Cross was watching her walk by.
I didn't see that.
In the background, Nikki Cross sort of pokes her head around to sort of watch her walk away. So I think that's your next little mid-card women's feud in there, which I'm fully on board for. Candice versus Nikki. Big thumbs up.
Yeah.
Also, I like just that little bit of detail. I think that's nice. And she's got a match with Dakota Kai later on in the show.
She chatted to Kathy Kelly, who was giving Baby One More Time realness. And I must confess, I still believe.
We then got the Street Profits person. That was very good, by the way.
Thank you.
I hope that got a good laugh from the audience. Because it deserved it. Here we got some of the awkwardness of not having a commercial break because we got a long Street Profits entrance, like really long. And there's not a lot of commentary to cover for it because they're like, well,
they're having a good time.
I'm sure, hey, on a normal episode of Raw, we've cut to an ad break now, but... Yeah.
We aren't.
But we're not. So, we're not doing that though. So oh my god, they're having fun, aren't they?
Really glad to be back, aren't they?
And then Alpha Academy come out, who do a really long entrance. And I'm like, are we eking this out to go to an ad break here?
We did get an ad break.
We did.
And when we came back from the ad break, we were talking to Elias and Matt Riddle.
We're in a backstage segment. It was like the old days.
This was nonsense on a production standpoint.
Pretty awful.
That commentary. I would have got a 2-2 at university for that.
Commentary was very bad. The structure of it was quite bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, we cut backstage to Elias and Matt Riddle. And Elias there being like, hey, I'm more of a singles guy. But we could work a standing. I've never won gold in WWE. You liar, Elias. You're a four-time 24/7 champion. Yes, I did go
and
to
that
your
belt is gold.
I did have to go to your Wikipedia page to double check that, but I was right. You did win that belt. And then the Bloodline walked in, and that was going to set up, and it was announced later on. The Bloodline versus Elias and Matt Riddle, Wish.com, RK-Bro, for the titles next week.
Yeah.
And it was funny as well because I'm like, oh, it's cool that they're fighting for the belts and the belts are going to be on the line in that. But I was like, I could think of six other teams I'd rather be in that spot.
Two of which are about to have a match.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was like, I could think of more teams. I'd really like the Good Brothers on that. The Judgment Day. Yeah, there's loads of teams I'd rather see in that position. Oh, the Brutes, we've just seen. Profits we saw in the summer.
I think, arguably, it's one of those things where there isn't... It's a shotzi insofar as there is no threat from these two from taking the Undisputed titles from the Bloodline. Let them defend the championships and then come Royal Rumble, or maybe they're going to do a special episode of Raw to bring in the new year that supplants for a December PLE.
Well, there's the Raw 30.
Oh, there's a Raw 30. There you go. That's your big show where you book something big. So one of these teams will face them for the titles on that show, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully so. Because we then did get the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy, who had an excellent professional wrestling match.
They really, really did. And I would like to point out here how fascinating it is that one of the most over moves in WWE at the moment is a body slam, because we got a big pop for it on Otis, and we got a big pop for it on Finn earlier on in the night. So... Wrestling is cyclical.
Yeah, they really did build around Ford trying to body slam Otis, and he finally did it at the end. This was Ford's return match since his injury, so all the shine was put onto Montez Ford, and he got to win with the frog splash. Great way to bring him back.
Good refresher.
A very good refresher. Yeah. Like the teams on the Raw Tag Division are sort of floundering at the moment because they don't really have anything to go for.
Yeah.
But this is still an excellent professional wrestling match, so you can't hate on it too much.
Agreed.
Austin Theory came out for a promo, and I mean, Theory said some stuff, but it's the stuff that he's sort of been saying since the here is my review of this segment is I nearly opened up Siri then, I don't know how.
Theory.
Oh, is that what it was?
Possibly sounds possibly, a bit like yeah. it. Yeah.
My ultimate review of this segment is the content of the promos was not very good. However, the performances were very good.
Yeah, and so were the outfits, if I may.
Yes, Seth's outfit
was fire. Loved it.
It was quite the choice. Yeah. Those sunglasses, I probably borrowed them off Becky Lynch glasses. So it's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just like Theory's, like, I'm really enjoying this intensity. I'd much rather this one than wins by fluke at Survivor Series.
Yeah, I was saying this just before we came on. For me, it was like the wins by fluke thing. Why not just have him be opportunistic? Like, why not just... It looked a bit like he was like, oh, this is my opportunity. It's just been speared and I'll just go for the cover. So lean into that, you know? And I think that's far more effective than, oops, I won, but I told you, I'm not a kid anymore. And I did think that while what Theory had to say didn't really do anything new, Seth being like, well done, kid, actually kind of was like quite decent. I think it was a bit effective.
Mm.
You know, I liked it. Even if it was a bit same old.
Yeah, and Theory says that we will have a rematch, but I'll do it on my own time.
I just pulled out an eyelash. I'm going to make a wish.
Okay, go for it.
It didn't come true.
Oh, what did you wish for?
Kathy Kelly to open the door.
I mean, you didn't give it time. is that her at the door?
No, it isn't.
It's funny because we then cut to WWE Investigates.
Yeah.
But we didn't really. What we got was the same WWE Investigates from a handful of weeks ago, and then it just cut to a video.
Extra.
But then when it stopped being that, and it was just a video package recapping the other weeks. Since
I did
the
quite
first
like the idea
this.
Of WWE Investigates being a regular story.
Well, I'm glad you do.
But I like the idea of it, but it's not gonna. It wasn't effective.
Here is how. Not Here's how non-moving this story has been. So they had. They'd cut together this storyline, right? And it's Johnny Gargano on the stage, and he's talking about how he had a private investigator.
Yeah.
And you have a reaction shot of The Miz being like, oh man, I got caught. And then it cuts to the video of Miz admitting what he did. And then it cuts to a reaction shot of The Miz, but he's in a completely different outfit because it's the segment they did the week after, or the segment they did 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, when Miz was in the cardigan.
It was a Drag Race Frankenstein edit.
And it was just like, this story has not moved so much. You were able to edit the same reaction shot from basically the same plot point from two different segments.
That's quite funny.
And it was just nice to see the cardigan again.
Oh, hugely.
Yeah. Then we got Dex Lumis versus The Miz. So.
I wrote down, I didn't care for this match.
Do you want to take us through some of this? Because I've got some notes of spots that I thought were very, very lame.
Oh, very lame. Yeah. Well, so we had, Dex Lumis slithered into the ring, which, you know, at the very least no one else does that. They had a vice at one point.
Yeah.
They came back from commercial break, and Miz was putting a literal vice from your design and technology class at school and like trying to crank it into Loomis's head. And Corey Graves is trying his best to sell this. And then Loomis is like, no, thank you. And then just pops it off, which suggests that Miz hasn't got much upper body strength. Then he sort of tosses that out of the ring. Then they go,
my favorite spot,
please.
So two of my favorite spots here. Three, in fact, actually, if I may.
Yeah.
I liked it when Loomis smacked Miz's head against an LED board and it created static,
which isn't
how LEDs work.
Not at all.
I also liked it when they were on the announcer's table and Dex Lumis gently shoved the Miz off the table and Miz took the safest bump he possibly could into
That's
the barricade.
He has stayed injury-free
for so long. He is the king of soft style.
He really is.
And then they had a brawl in the crowd where Dexter Lumis threw Miz into a TV, the most damage of which caused was the HDMI cable fell out.
And here's how much I didn't care about this match. I spent more time wondering what brand of TV it was.
Was
it Samsung?
It was Samsung.
I thought it was a Samsung.
Because my Samsung does the same thing.
Cared more about that than I did about the spots.
And that's how I knew the HDMI cable had come out. Because I recognized that from my own TV.
There you go.
That's how like hardcore...
Anything goes.
This match was a HDMI cable fell out of a TV. The TV didn't even break.
Yeah,
and it was like it was just really soft. And then Lumis won and
signed his little contract.
That was the only thing the crowd popped for in this match was him signing the contract.
I actually, while I didn't care for the match, and I was like, "Thank God this is finished," I am sat there going, "What does Lumis do next?" But then, I really did enjoy the dollar bills shenanigans. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, please do.
So what happened is Lumis starts, he's got his lovely Louis Vuitton bag, walking full of money, starts taking notes and handing them to kids.
$100 bills.
And one kid, I loved this moment, held it up to the light to see whether or not it was real. And then, Dad, can you check whether it was quite entertaining? Hands one to a little boy, then gets, who I noticed later on was further, so clearly that is a planned little boy, gets clocked from behind by Miz, who then goes over and takes the $100 bill from the child, gets a massive boo, and I loved it because that for me is absolute heel S-housery. And then out comes Johnny Gargano to give him a little super kick, gives the money back to the child, raises Dex's hand.
Yeah. So.
This was what they did.
They gave some thumbs up at the end. Get what they were going for with Dexter handing out money to children. The gentle giant.
Good guy.
The the Robin Hood, if you will, the Good Samaritan who is giving money. But it also, because he is a serial killer, he was just handing money to children. Let's not forget that he broke into the Miz's house while the Miz's kids were asleep.
I'm sorry, I forgot about that. It was 2 years ago. I just can't with this storyline.
You know, and then he drew a picture of him with the kids.
He did do that.
And then he's now handing out money to kids.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the look they're going for, but it just made him look like a big old creepazoid.
It was awful.
I was like, ooh, I don't think I want this serial killer looking man, whose gimmick is based on Dexter from the show Dexter, who was a murderer, that we should be making him be like a friend to children. Because I've just got to look. I look at him and was like, I think he's going to murder those children. And
at least he's paying them well for it.
You raise the question of, what do you do next with Dexter Loomis?
Because he's signed a contract now.
He is now on the Raw brand, and I'm struggling to think of anything because he didn't sell anything off The Miz in this match.
Nope.
He no-sold all of The Miz's moves. He kicked out of the being thrown into the exposed turnbuckle. Mm. And we've got quite a few unstoppable monsters across Raw and SmackDown. I don't think we need another one, particularly because those ones you've got aren't in storylines either.
Mm.
So, like, I don't know. What do you do? What honestly do you do with The Miz? With both of them.
No, The Miz, you can do anything with.
He literally can bounce around. He is beautiful mid-card fodder.
Yeah.
He can go anywhere you like. I don't know what you do with Dexter, though, outside of Mary Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Not interested, really. And hey, I'm not on next week. It's not my problem anymore.
That's true, yeah. You've basically been here for this whole 16 weeks.
My first episode of the Raw Review was this Dexter Loomis segment is not good. And I've made it. I am thrilled that it came to a conclusion while I was here. Like, do you know what I mean? What if it hadn't? That would have been devastating.
Exactly, yeah. But this did feel like this is the end of that storyline now.
Mm.
All 16 weeks of that storyline done. So that's that.
Yeah.
And then we had Dakota Kai versus Candice LeRae. Corey shout out Bluey on this match.
Yeah.
So 5 out of 5 show for me. good match. Decent near falls. Candice hit the neck breaker off the second rope for the win. It's another loss for damage control. But Candice should have won. It is her return match.
Yeah. And also it's another one of those things that we haven't really got to see much from Candice LeRae. Like, we sort of got that brief introduction to her with not a lot of bite, not a lot of character. So it was kind of, it was almost like a re-debut in a way. So it was nice to see her get the win, I think. Yeah.
And
that's where I realized it was quite a strong women's division. Cause I think for me, I liked the Mia Rhea stuff. Three quite strong segments, including Becky having a big shout out.
Yeah. And then, you know, our final thing to talk about here is Kathy Kelly interviewing Bianca and friends.
Yeah.
And it's the first time where Alexa Bliss's boredom has felt like an actual character choice.
Acknowledged on screen.
Yeah. As a character choice, as opposed to just, I am bored and want to go home.
Yeah.
Because she was staring blankly. I actually thought she was staring at the title, but I think they were making it more like she was sort of staring at the floor, not really knowing what was going on. And then she was like, so Bianca was doing her rousing speech and Asuka spoke in Japanese. And then they go to Alexa, but she goes, sorry, oh god, I wasn't paying attention. So I guess you can now do Belair versus Bliss as like a little mini feud.
Well, we also had right at the beginning the TV glitched and we had the Wyatt logo,
which is the first time since Crown Jewel that we've had that. So we waited the
second time overall
an entire month for that storyline to reach its next step.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can start to get things moving a little bit. Maybe this was a case of they wanted that storyline, but I had to put it on pause so we can do War Games.
Yeah.
Then we can kind of pick this back up again.
Yeah.
Like Bliss going after Belair, like if Bliss does a big heel turn and she becomes spooky, ooky.
Well, it's been quite noticed she likes that character as well. She's tweeted about how she misses it. So never really got resolved.
So I was thinking about this on the train ride in today while I was writing up my review, because I've been kind of down on the idea of doing Bliss and Wyatt again, because it was not good the first time round.
Right.
I thought it was actually actively terrible and it hurt both of them. However, I'm not against it at this point, only because I think I'm just desperate for them to do something with Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Mighty Boosh character being like, no, it was you.
Yeah.
And so like, maybe all of this combined will actually like just move some of this forward, which would be quite nice.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? But it was the first time I think Bliss has actually shown anything since she came back in February. And even then, Well, she came back for the Elimination Chamber.
She did.
But then she wasn't on TV for a handful of months, and then she's just come back as an Anne friend.
As long as we move away from the Avril Lavigne theme song she's been
getting. Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
Really so bad.
It is well bad. But that was... John.
This is very close. Accessories Girls. Rock tie.
But that was this episode of Raw. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah.
A 3 out of 5 show, but the wrestling I thought was so great that it kind of elevates to a 4. And I think you cannot deny the Bloodline stuff is like 5 out of 5
for me. It started well, ended well. I agree, it was 4 out of 5 for me. Quite liked it very much.
So let us know what you thought of Raw in the live chats at the moment. Also, make sure you give your flowers to old Dan here on his final episode on the WrestleTalk podcast for now, as I'm going to put it. Ding, ding, ding. This is your last call for UltraChats. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get your thoughts and opinions read out on this very show. Like these fine folks, Malab Mavadipudi, who's been a member for 18 months in a row, said, "I just wish people realized what we're seeing with this Bloodline storyline will be part of highlight reels for years to come. It is history in the making."
Yeah, very much. And it's quite, that's why it's quite special. And that's why I want to make sure I'm not underselling just how good it is, because it's so rare that something like this does come around.
Rob Steadley, who's been a member for 5 months in a row, said, "When the Bloodline turn on Sammy after the promo, Jimmy needs to be the first to turn our attack Sammy with just a look from Roman to start it off."
That's where I was, because it was Jimmy who was the one who sort of brought him in, and so it's Jimmy who has to be the one to turn, and I liked the idea of the conflict within Jimmy, because I do think those handshakes are very genuine. I think he genuinely has affection for Sammy, and I think the longer the storyline goes, the more affection the Usos especially are going to have for Sammy. And then we see the Bloodline start to implode, because maybe the Usos don't like that they've kicked Sammy out. I don't know. The joy of this is there's so many places you can go with it.
I think with Jimmy, for me, I don't want to see him be the first one to do the attack. Like, I want to see him have that.
Of course, you don't want it.
Well, no, of course I don't want it. Obviously.
But it's going to happen.
Well, I know, but I don't want him to be like soloed, because Solo doesn't care.
Oh, you almost want a redux of the Sammy thing. And in the way he's the last one and he's conflicted, is he going to do it? And then he has to because it's family.
Exactly. That's where I want it.
Yeah.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan, said, "Hello, you wonderful, wonderful people. Hope you're doing well. So Dexter Lumis won the contract. He beat The Miz. Adam Pearce was there. Johnny Gargano was there. Yes, yes, yes. Now we can have Dex versus Austin Theory, Dex versus Reigns, so much more. The Dex Express for life."
Okay.
Chris said, "It seems like we finally have the beginnings of a story for Alexa with her trance-like state. Love she was wearing almost the exact same outfit she had when Bray first started to influence her, when Nikki was the one noticing the changes, not ask her. Bianca, I have faith in Alexa.
Not ask her and Bianca.
No, it's
a new sentence.
Oh, right. Changes, not ask her and Bianca. I have faith in Alexa. Bray a triple to do it... I have faith in Alexa and Bray, and for Triple H to do it right this time.
Gotcha.
The way she was staring also looked like she was looking at the championship. Perhaps she finds a way to win that title. She will not be winning the title, I can tell you that much.
No.
And outside of stuff she does in interviews, she's the best actor. This could be a slow burn story like it was in the beginning with the Performance Center era before they got brought to Raw and Vince reined in, because it was up until the draft that year and it was the best thing in the company. Mm-hmm. Alexa and Bray, the next step for Alexa is to start using Sister Abigail.
We've had that kind of hint of these wider characters. Uncle Howdy is the most prominent one at the moment, but if we are going to go down that road, putting a face to a name, it'll be just something different. I think so many of these things have been, the Bray Wyatt lore is so convoluted and so intense, and the people who specifically love it are so intense with it, that you almost want to do something fresh. And Uncle Howdy, at least for me, feels a little bit fresh.
I cannot get past him looking like a Mighty Boosh character.
That's fine for me. I didn't watch Mighty Boosh. That's why I'm all right with it.
I didn't really watch it much either, because I was of the age that I was supposed to love the Mighty Boosh, like when it was on TV, but I was like, no, basically your whole thing is just like, well, isn't that random? Look, I've got a bit of pudding on the moon. Like, and that's the joke.
That doesn't do it for me.
It doesn't do it for me, I'm afraid. Yeah. But I think Noel Fielding is a very nice man.
Lovely man. I sold him an Oyster card holder once at Waterstones.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
Homestar Fan 13 says, "Well, it finally happened. I caught COVID. Kind of relieved.
The best of us.
Kind of relieved about it, though, so I can just get out of the way. Anyway, regards to Rock Roman, do you think that means Rock will win the Rumble, or will Cody still win it and Roman will wrestle both shows?" That is how... I still don't know where we stand, because I Cody's,
have a pitch.
You got a pitch?
Yeah.
Please hit me with that pitch.
Roman, Sammy wins the Rumble, and Roman is like, no, kind of shut this thing down. And they decide, they agreed, like, we're just going to do it at Elimination Chamber kind of thing. And then that's where, you know, there's some nonsense goes on, shenanigans go down around there. I think that Cody winning the... I almost got more sold on the idea of when Seth Rollins still had the championship, Cody coming back and going for the US title for a bit. So that, because if you give Cody the world title immediately, he's got nowhere else to go. I almost want him to come back, get that reclamation, put the US title around his waist, just like his dad. You know, I think it would mean a lot to him, and especially because Triple H is trying to build the US title up to be that big. Mm-hmm. Giving him the US title for a while would be... Or give him that WrestleMania moment. He wins the championship at WrestleMania, and then we can look forward in the calendar.
Yeah.
I don't know about The Rock winning the Royal Rumble. I don't know if The Rock would agree to that many dates. I don't know. But then what do you do if you don't? Because the point, the Rumble... Yeah, interesting.
It is. I'll be curious to see how we get there. Or whether or not we do end up doing Rock and Roman.
I don't care enough to watch that.
I don't either, but it's also like... I said this on the Survivor Series show. It's always worth remembering that WrestleMania is the celebrity show.
It is, and it's in Hollywood.
It's in Hollywood. It's the same with the Saudi shows.
Yeah.
They are the big spectacle shows. Yeah. So you do the celebrities and the part-timers and the guest appearances and some of the other. So like, if you're going to do Rock and Roman, like that feels like it is the best time to do it.
But I think we all...
And really, like, but at that point, it's not us that matter.
Yeah.
Like, we as the viewers that are watching every week, we don't matter in whether or not they do it or not. Because it's for the casual fans. It's for the... to try and get that $1 million buy rate that they got the last time The Rock was on. Obviously, they didn't want to get that because it's now on a streaming thing. But, like, to get the big gate for WrestleMania, to get the big attendance. Like, that
two nights in a massive stadium.
That's the people that actually matter when it comes to WrestleMania. We don't when it comes to WrestleMania plans.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Gerald says, the minor details are one of the better things of the Triple H era, even excluding the bloodline. Little things like Rhea saving Dominic are just chef's kiss.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's all those... It sometimes doesn't really do it well on the bigger details, but the minor details, it's like, at the very least, you're paying attention. And, you know, you're not going to get everything right, but you're committed to it, and I appreciate it.
Adonator 800 says, while I understand that Rock and Roman is the money match, I can't help but disappointed when I hear that is the plan, because that'll mean that Roman is holding both titles for another year and Raw not having a top champion for another year either. It doesn't mean for a full year, because it's not like Roman has to hold on to the belts till WrestleMania next year.
No.
He could lose them in the summer.
I think if he's facing Rock, he's not going to win, because it would be so detrimental to have Roman's unbelievable reign be a transitional champion next. He holds it for 1 month and doesn't come back.
Yeah.
I think he's, if it's Rock, he's keeping it. And I think, SummerSlam maybe, or another show, a big surprise.
They need to come up with a good way of getting the belts, to separate the belts out.
Yes.
Because at the moment they're a unified title. Yeah. He is not WWE and Universal Champion. He is the WWE Undisputed Universal Champion.
They kept both belts?
They have kept both belts in the same way they kept both belts when they unified for the Undisputed title.
But they, it was about 4 months later.
They eventually moved them into one belt. And we haven't done that bit yet. And I think that's probably because they're still trying to think of a way to just make it so that the belts can be split apart again. Yeah. The pitch that apparently there was for Clash at the Castle was that Austin Theory was going to cash in Money in the Bank, turn into a triple threat, but the contract would have stated it was only for one of the titles.
Shenanigans.
So Drew would have won the WWE Championship and Roman would have remained the Universal Champion.
Yeah.
Like, it's nonsense garbage.
But also
at least it would have...
It's wrestling.
It's wrestling, and it probably would have worked.
Yeah, I can see that working. Yeah.
We have got some chats for the Professor Dan Layson. In fact, I'm just going to shout out Rob, who is our moderator holding the chats today, who is at the top of this, just said, going to miss you, Dan. Thanks, Rob. The Guilty Hat says, I wasn't going to chat today, but hearing this is Dan's last review, I just wanted to say that's been an absolute delight, largely for being the only Miz fan at WrestleTalk, but also for bringing a very positive energy to everything you do. Hope to see more of you.
Thanks.
Tenra's a Dan the Man. You better win Quizzlemania and give that title a swell holder. The Bloodline are the most incredible thing in WWE right now. Nothing else can touch it. Are either of you going to Mania? Tempted to do both Wrestle Kingdom and WrestleMania. Also, the World Cup has been fun. Love you.
I'm very Hollywood, so I have some friends in LA, and I am quite tempted to try and, you know, but the tickets are quite hot at the moment, and it's a very expensive place to go.
I've got a job that is too busy around wrestling coverage, so I cannot go to WrestleMania. Yeah.
I could be the roving reporter.
I would love
running around Los Angeles.
And I would love to go to Wrestle Kingdom, if only because I could just means I can go back to Japan, because I'd love to go back.
Yeah.
Tenrez also continues, please don't go, Dan. These Raw reviews have been gold. A new highlight of the week. Sad it's ending. Wouldn't mind if you stayed. Best laugh.
I have about 100 laughs and they come out. No one knows which one's going to come next.
Tevian says, why does Dan have to leave? I see, he loved having him on the Raw show. Pete's great, but I'm genuinely going to miss Dan.
I'm not, like, dying. I'll be around.
Hey, Dan, you're on Quizlemania somewhere.
I am. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm revising.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. What are you revising?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know what the questions are going to be. But, like, you know, I'm revising the www.wikipedia.com. Just hopefully, just off screen. Just, like, you know, cheat my way to the top like my hero, The Miz.
Yeah, I am hosting Quizlemania tomorrow night, if you want to tune in over on Parts Fun, mm-hmm. Because Adam is competing.
Well, that's the thing. Knowing Adam is competing, I ain't winning. So it's almost like I'm going to have some fun.
Well,
I'm aiming for, you know me and my being coming in third place.
Well, Dan, from Cinemania.
From Cinemania,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, Dan, I'm not going to be having a very wrestling trivia focused thing, because I'm all about the fun of Quizlemania.
I see.
Which is just like playing nonsense games.
Yeah.
So you might be all right.
Who knows?
WWE Mikey 03 says, hi guys, I hope you're doing well. I just want to come here and say that KO and Sammy ended their friendship. Legitimately made me tear up. I'm so invested in the story. Also going to miss you, Dan. Jam that jam.
I miss you, Mikey.
John Wick 1GM said, am I the only one that feels like Bianca is turning into Super Cena? Also, do you guys feel the storyline between Bayley and Bianca would have been better if the title hot potatoed between the two of them, then culminated at War Games?
Possibly. The Super Cena thing I don't see so much. I can see where it comes from, but I think there's something about Cena always felt he always felt like it's the thing I said earlier on about Bianca not treating the opponents like they are a real threat. It's almost like she's like, I'm actually really great, and that's what makes it different to Super Cena. For me,
I think the other difference I would say between Bianca and Super Cena is that the crowd like Bianca.
Yes, that one too. Yeah.
Because the crowd, I mean, I was part of it. We did not like Super Cena. No. So we would boo Super Cena always winning, and Cena wins. LOL became the running joke of like, oh my god, this guy's awful, and he keeps bloody winning, and there are people who are legitimately more over than him that should be getting this belt, but they're not.
Also, Bianca has considerably more moves of doom. I think that's a big part of it.
But Bianca is getting like these amazing babyface reactions from this crowd. The crowd love Bianca Belair, so I don't think she is Super Cena at the moment.
And ultimately,
she's incredibly well protected to perhaps too much of a degree.
She does earn the victory,
but
she
always wins looking impressive,
convincing.
And the crowd love it when she does win.
Yeah.
So that is the difference, I would say. Nick here says, it's a shame Alexa Bliss is stealing Orange Cassidy's gimmick.
There was no denim in that segment.
It's always Alexa Bliss.
Let alone double denim.
All she ever does is just steal other people's gimmicks. Darth Malga said, the Street Profits are back. What happened to that Montez Ford heel turn singles move? Come on, Trips. In all seriousness, super glad that they did nix those plans.
Trips loves tag team wrestling. I love tag team wrestling. I'm all about keeping... I don't want to see them split up.
Neither do I.
Because they're a good tag team.
Yep. I said it a lot when they were like doing the teasers. I was like, I don't think I like this.
No,
this is not the one for me. So thank you all so much for all of your amazing Ultra Chats. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Raw Review and the WrestleTalk podcast. We are back on Thursday with the AEW Dynamite Review, another packed show which features Bryan Danielson versus Dax Harwood of all matches. So I am very much looking forward to that. Plus more Elite versus Death Triangle, which I love.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of it.
What is this? Is this 2 of 7?
This is match 3 of 7.
3 of 7.
And the Elite are currently 2-0 down.
Goodness.
I know. It's very, very good.
Well, as we saw in the World Cup, it ain't over till it's over. They could Cameroon that stuff.
Touchdown.
Sure.
Once again, everyone, give a lot of love to the Professor Dan Layton, who has been a wonderful co-host here on the WrestleTalk podcast. Love having you here, Dan. We will have you
Thanks
back very, very soon. Have a great rest of your week until we see you again on Thursday, everyone. Please do check out this episode sponsor, Incogni. The first 100 people to use the promo code WTPodcast will get a discount at checkout. Thank you so much for watching. We will see you on Thursday. Take care, everyone. I have been Luke Cohen, DAD. That has been the Professor Dan Layton. Jam that jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.